Hey, it's Thomas Frank. I've just got a quick note for you before we get into the show. If you've been enjoying the Inforium or my videos over on YouTube, then you, my friend, should get Nebula. On Nebula, you get ad-free versions of both this podcast and my videos, along with exclusive stuff like extended versions of those videos. And it's not just our stuff that you're going to get. Dozens of other creators are on Nebula, including Ali Abdaal, Wendover Productions, Braincraft, Tier Zoo, and lots more. Nebula gives us a chance to experiment, and since everything's ad-free, it's also the best way for you to get our content. Head over to theinforium.com/nebula to sign up now.
Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the College Info Geek Podcast. My name is Thomas Frank, and this is a show that helps you become a more effective student. And, well, the circumstances surrounding this podcast, I've realized just now, are almost exactly the same as the ones surrounding last week's podcast. So I actually recorded this interview a good while before I recorded the one with Chris Bailey from last week. But essentially, I have two good friends who are both publishing books at the beginning of 2016 with big publishers. So two good friends of mine have achieved that goal of getting a book on bookstore shelves. And as a person who wants to support their efforts and who has really gotten a lot of help from both of them, and as a person who wants to become a published author at some point in the future myself, I wanted to bring them on the podcast. So last week, you got Chris Bailey with A Life of Productivity. His book, The Productivity Project, is on shelves as of last week, and hopefully you enjoy that episode. This week, I'm having a conversation once again with my friend Steve Kam, who is the founder of NerdFitness.com. And I got to say, Steve has been one of the biggest influences in my life. His style of blogging and the way that he crafted his content and designed his site, like those things all influenced me majorly and helped in the development of College Info Geek itself. And also his Epic Quest of Awesome, which is basically his way of turning his life into a video game and really laying out his goals and codifying them and increasing his motivation ridiculously to achieve them. That list really inspired me to create my impossible list. And in turn, having that list helped me achieve a lot of goals in my life. And that's why I always encourage people to create similar lists and to really write down their goals and even make them public in certain cases. So in this episode, I couldn't really call it Level Up Your Life because that's actually what I called the first conversation I had with Steve Kam back in episode 14 of the podcast. But Steve's book is actually called Level Up Your Life. And it is all about this concept of creating systems to ensure that you will take your goals and create habits around them, to ensure that your motivation levels aren't the only thing that is driving you forward to make progress over time. And in the first conversation I had with Steve Kam, which will be linked up in the show notes, we talked about the formation of Nerd Fitness, and we talked about Steve's, you know, initial story and also some ways to get healthy and exercise more in college. This conversation, it's a fun meandering conversation because Steve is a good friend and we always have great conversations, but it goes much more into those principles behind building systems to ensure that you're going to do things in the future. So hopefully you get something useful out of this podcast. His book is going to be on shelves tomorrow, which is January 12th. So if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, you can't buy it yet, but you can buy it tomorrow. And if you're listening to it at any other time in the future, it will be on sale wherever you buy books, online, in stores, wherever. But I will have the links to the at least online places where you can buy them in the show notes. So those show notes are over at cigpodcast.com. The episode 92 link on the page will get you to all those links and a summary and also ways you can rate and review the podcast on iTunes if you so desire. And that's all I've got for this conversation other than to say that I didn't really do an intro, so you're going to get a little bit of like the pre-conversation where I kind of like set up the structure and then promptly forget to do a proper intro. So just roll with it and hopefully you enjoy. What I thought we would do is, number one, I was just going to be like, straight up with you guys, I'm going to advertise my friend's book because you should buy it. So I wanted to talk about like, just, it seems like the book's entire point is basically like goal setting plus gamification plus nerd references equals cool life.
Yes, pretty
much. And so I want to talk about like your, what led you to building your kind of epic quest of awesome. And then I want to talk about three big level ups in your life that we didn't talk about in the last time that we, that was like, what, 3 years ago now? 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
It was like a long time ago. I think last time we only talked about how you built Nerd Fitness.
Okay.
Like sitting in your book or in your construction vehicle, or whatever it was, your truck. I guess you were. Yep. I was imagining you like driving a dump truck to the places where you were selling stuff.
But, I was driving a Ford F-250. So yeah. I was in a big.
That's close enough.
Truck, close enough. Yeah.
Do you really need a Ford F-250 to go like sell construction equipment?
No, of course not. It was all part of the show, and I was like, this is absurd.
Though, I'm now imagining your construction sales company just sending you in a Prius to like this area where they're building a skyscraper, and you like hobble out of your Prius, and you're like, do you want to buy some bulldozers from us?
Get on my hoverboard and roll over to
a little Segway with the helmet on and everything.
Like Job in Arrested Development. The whole thing would be great.
This is going in the podcast for sure. All right. I have abandoned all hope for any structure in this episode, which is totally fine.
That's right.
So let's just be straight up with it. You wrote a book, and it's bigger than my book. I'm holding it, but people can't see it. Mine says advanced uncorrected proof, not for sale, but otherwise... It looks really cool, I gotta admit.
I mean, it does look really cool, right? Like the cover, I'm so excited. Like I cannot wait until I walk into a bookstore or walk through an airport and like I see it sitting on a shelf. Like I'm just gonna lose it.
You know what you gotta do?
It's gonna be such a cool moment.
You gotta do the, like I follow several fantasy authors and I often see them like, yo, I'm in DFW at the Walden Books, just signed 3 copies of my book, Stealth-like, hopefully the people don't see me, and then people like rush to Dallas to go buy those copies. You got to tweet that you signed
your
books.
I don't know how many people are actually going to rush to buy things that I've signed, but...
I don't know, man.
Maybe. Who knows? That'd be pretty cool. So yeah, I guess I'll have to do that too.
You just act as if, right?
Yeah,
it's like absolutely. The old acting trick. Act as if. Act as if you are Patrick Rothfuss. People will come rush for your book.
Well, I'm hoping that he gets... It's the third book out the door. I'm ready.
See, I'm not worried that he's going to shuffle off this mortal coil like some other authors that will remain unnamed. But but he is certainly taking his sweet time. Yeah. I'm not going to be one of those people that whines about it. Because like, there's like this whole militia of people. Every time he tweets something else besides Doors of Stone, they're just like, why aren't you writing the third book, Patrick?
Yeah, like, you are like how quickly he owes everybody something.
I know, right?
You know, it's crazy. It's like, well, do you feel any of that in your work? Thing and yeah,
you like do you feel any of that in your work? Like people, it's like certain people act like you owe them something because they subscribed or because they followed you.
Yeah, I mean, most 99.9% of Nerd Fitness readers are supportive. They understand that, like. This is a business. We are a small company, a small group of people that are trying to do our best work to help as many people as possible. There are occasionally a few that feel very entitled and have very unrealistic expectations as to what we're capable of and how quickly we're capable of doing things. And you know, you don't want to give them the whole, show them everything, but it's like you don't understand what's going on behind the scenes and like the amount of crap we're trying to deal with to make everything work together. So there are a few of them, but by and large, the strong majority of people are just like, they're people that I would want to hang out with at Nerd Fitness anyway. You came to camp 2 years ago. It's just like normal people wanting to do awesome stuff and have a lot of fun with it.
Oh man, camp was amazing.
That was a good time.
There was not enough sugar, but it was like way too healthy. I was like putting the stevia in my coffee all the time.
I'm guessing people came home from that and they were like, all right, give me something. But
slice of cake and glass of whiskey, please. No, but it was super fun. The reason that I didn't go last year is because it's always like booking happens like 7 or 8 months in advance. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I still am like in the part of my life where it's like spending money on something that's going to happen a bunch of months in advance.
It's
conferences
tough. Well,
are an investment.
That's the life that you built, though, and that's the life that I built as well. Mm-hmm. It's you like having the freedom to go and do what you want when you want to do it. And you know, if there are things that you might want to go to, but they're far enough down the road that you're not sure if it fits into your schedule, then it's like, okay, then that's the quote unquote the price that you're paying for having complete freedom to that you've structured your life around this idea of freedom that's become so important to you. So like, I totally get it.
Yeah, it's very true. It's kind of weird to be like, to think of my life as something where 8 months down the road, I could be like, well, I'm probably going to be doing the same thing that I'm doing right now. Cause I don't think of it that way, even though it might be,
who knows what could happen.
I might be waking up in 8 months and still making a video every week and everything, but
you could also wake up in Japan in 8 months. Like, you don't know.
I mean, you'd probably know
if you woke up in Japan. If you just went to bed in where you are now and then woke up in Japan the next day, I would love to hear
now
the story.
That's a bender. I've heard about the waking up in Jersey City thing, but like a 12-hour flight and you don't know what's going on, and then all of a sudden you wake up in a hostel in Japan.
Right. I think a movie starts this way.
So anyway, I've talked about the uncorrected part of your book, but actually there's like a section here without a picture. So I guess they haven't finished it, but I'm guessing like they're probably done with it by now, because I've had my copy for a little while. Do you have the finished ones?
I was going to hold up my copy, but this is a podcast. So, I mean, I have like the final proof. You know, they have print 20,000 plus copies of this thing have been printed.
Wow.
And they are getting ready to be shipped to bookstores nationwide and things like that. So it does exist. There are pretty pictures inside of it, and it looks phenomenal.
It's like very well designed. Like it's totally your kind of design. Like comic bubbles fonts.
The cover of it just was. I looked at this and was like, "Yep, that's it. That's that's the one." And then on the inside, they added like this really cool rebel red accents throughout. So like you won't see it. Yours is black and white, but in the final copy, you know, like the certain pages are maroon red and like kind of like aged
like
and
these
weathered.
Ones? Yeah, they gonna like be, they're going to be red instead of gray.
Those pages look phenomenal. So, like the whole So I started Nerd Fitness, whatever it was, 7 years ago, and it's, you know, it's basic diet and fitness information. Like it's strength training, it's how to eat better, it's understanding the paleo diet or intermittent fasting or how to cook a recipe. I mean, this information, it's not rocket science, and it's information that you can find on other sites. But I think what Nerd Fitness does better than most fitness sites is we really try to create an experience around it and build this community. And that, you know, the language that we use, the style of our blog post, the formatting of blog posts, the design of the website itself, the design of this book, you know, it's all done in this idea of like we're building a world that we're inviting you in to become a part of. And the mythology, almost like the Nerd Fitness mythology that we've built, draws people in and makes them feel like they're part of something bigger than just I'm doing push-ups and eating more broccoli than normal. Like you're part of something bigger than that.
And I think that's really essential, because at least for me, when there's not like a reason to do healthy things, I don't want to do them. Like,
sure,
I have a reason for doing my videos every week and everything, you know, and that it like drives me forward. But if it's like I must go to the gym and move my arms in several directions for 30 minutes for no reason other than to not die sooner, then there's just no motivation for it. So if there's like some driving force,
that's funny. I mean, I think there's two things in particular that you just mentioned there, and two things I talk about pretty significantly in the book. But one, like you said, you need your why, like you need your reason why you're doing the things that you're doing. But two, if you only did things when you were motivated to do them, nothing would ever get done. Like if I only wrote blog posts when I was motivated to write, or if I only played music when I was motivated to practice, or if I only ate healthier and exercise when I was motivated to go to the gym, I would be 300 pounds and sitting on my couch and Nerd Fitness wouldn't exist. Like none of those things would happen. So I found this quote that I put in the book itself, but the quote essentially said somebody was asking for help on getting motivated to play music more often. And the response was essentially like, dude, F motivation, cultivate discipline. Like you need to structure your environment. You need to structure your daily habits. You need to, like, the equivalent of putting horse blinders on to get yourself to do the things that you know you need to get done. It's like, you know, putting off the temporary satisfaction of playing video games, eating chocolate cake, and not exercising for the long-term gratification of a healthy body that allows you to have the adventures you want to have, a business that allows you to do what you want to do, and the joy that comes from learning to play an instrument, learning a new language, whatever it may be. Like, motivation is so fleeting. Willpower is a finite resource. But if you can build your environment and hang out with the right types of people and things like that, like, so many external things influence how we get those things done, so much more so than the internal, I'm just going to get motivated and then I'll get started. That never works for anybody. Yeah. That's why everybody abandons their New Year's resolutions like 3 weeks after they started, because their motivation is gone 3 weeks in and they don't have a good system in place to actually pull this stuff off.
Yeah, I freaking love that you said that. Like, people probably don't realize this because, like you said, 99% of the audience is always like very supportive. But like, I have this one video. I think it's called like "How I Get Massive Workloads Done Every Day" or something like that.
Sure.
I just kind of made it like maybe 8 or 9 months ago, and it's become like the third most viewed video on my channel. And it's all about creating systems and having a daily plan that you stick to every day. You know, external motivation. I realized that systematization. I don't know if that's a word.
Sure, why not?
Building external systems. It works to certain degrees for certain different people. So like some people have parts of their work that they will just do, and then some people need systems for almost all of it. There's a podcast I listen to called Hello Internet, and two YouTubers both have over 1 million subscribers on their main channels. One guy is like, I have to have systems for everything. And the other guy's like, that sounds ridiculous. I just do my work. But then he realizes he needs systems for like getting healthy and other things.
Sure.
So, but I've got like this strain of people commenting on this video, and they're like, this is all complete, you know, bull crap. Just be motivated and do your work. And I'm like, okay, you're sometimes motivated, right? But then you're not always motivated. And I know this because I'm a very motivated person, but that doesn't mean if I didn't have a system, I would write every day. I've gone through years of my life where I didn't. And it was creating a system that made me so much more consistent.
Writing this book was a perfect example for me. I had 10 months to write it, and 4 or 5 months in, I had written exactly 0 words.
Wait, seriously?
Why? 100%. I'm dead serious. Because I was so afraid of getting started, and it was so overwhelming and nebulous. I was like, write a book. You know, I knew it had to be 75,000 words or 70,000 words, and I just couldn't get myself to start. I was like, oh, I'll start when I have more time. And then like camp came up and these other things, and I was like, oh, I'll get to it. And the next thing you know, I have like 5 months until the first draft is due to the publisher. And I'm like, dude, you clearly, this waiting until you're motivated or having enough time is not working for you. Like, you need to put a system in place. So I spent the $40 on Scrivener, which is this, you know, it's like a screenwriting program, I think. But
I love Scrivener.
Yeah, you put like, okay, I need to have X number of words written by this specific date.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to write every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to write 4 days a week, and it's due on this date. And then it comes back and tells you that means every day you need to write 463 words.
Oh,
and
I didn't know I had that.
Oh, dude, this is going to change it. Wait till you see this. So not only does it tell you how many words you need to write, but then every day when you open it up, there's a little progress bar that starts red and it says 0 of 467. And as you're writing out words, the progress bar fills up. It changes from red to orange to yellow to, I think, blue to green. And when it turns green, when it finally hit, when you write your 467th word for that day, it gives you like this like level up ding, like this little, this little ding noise. I became so addicted to hearing that ding noise every morning. So like, I had to completely restructure my environment. I woke up every day. I told everybody on Team Nerd Fitness, do not talk to me, do not email me, do not call me or text me until 11 a.m. unless something is burning down. And even then, like, figure it out. I used a program at the time. It's called Self Control, but that has since gone the way of the dodo. And now I use Freedom, where like before I go to bed, I'll block every time-wasting website for the next 12 hours. So by the time I wake up at 6 a.m. the next morning, there's 6 hours more or 5 hours more, whatever it is, of me not being able to access these time-wasting websites, aka the equivalent of me putting horse blinders on. And then I just had to write. I put on a great soundtrack, you know, a great playlist, made a cup of coffee and sat there. And I told myself every day I had to write 467 words at least. They could be terrible. They could be, I don't want to write this. They could, blah, blah, blah. I could write whatever, but I had to write that, at least that many words. And sure enough, every day when I got started, after 10, 15 minutes, I'd get warmed up, a new idea would come in, I'd get in the flow. Next thing I know, I've written 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 words. But if I had initially sat down and said, I have to write 3,000 words, oh, I don't have time for that, I'll do it later, blah, 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 because it was 467. Next thing I know, it's been 3 months later and I've written, my first draft was 105,000 words. Like, it was almost like 2 full books. And then actually I ended up having, worked with another friend who helped me kind of chisel it back down to 70,000 words. But for a guy that couldn't write anything for 4 months to all of a sudden 3 months later have 105, 110,000 words written, it was awesome. And my first draft was terrible. it wasn't good. It was disjointed. It almost looked like I was, you know, schizophrenic in my writing, like the multiple personalities, because I wrote some of it before camp, after camp, different ideas were coming in and out of my head, but I got it out of me and I got it onto a piece of paper. And then only then did I go back and edit and fix and improve. But I had to completely structure my life and restructure my environment around me. In the book, I call it building your bat cave, like building systems and setting yourself up to succeed at the habits you're trying to build and making it way more difficult for you to continue the bad habits that you're trying to stop.
Yeah. And I do want to point out something like that you said, where you set a 467 word goal and then you were able to write more per day. That's exactly what happened with mine. It was 500 a day, but then I would find myself writing 2000. And I think, like, if you're setting a goal for yourself, when you're breaking it down to that, like, daily practice goal for one task, set the goal low enough that you can smash through it. Like, yep. Don't set it super high that's going to take all your willpower throughout the day, because really the goal is just there to get you started, and it like needs to seem achievable enough and broken down enough, and then you're likely to just keep working because your brain does want to do it. It's just there's initial resistance. And I find that with like almost any task I'm working on, especially video editing, when I first plug the memory card into the computer, I'm like, I really don't want to do this. Cutting the footage is fine, but like the animations in particular, I'm just like, oh my God, no, please. Just can I be like one of those little vloggers that holds my camera instead and walks through the streets of town instead of animating things? But 20 minutes later, like once I've started, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty happy with this, and like, get yeah, into
same
it,
thing. So. James Clear of JamesClear.com, just phenomenal blogger, one of the best. He talks about how he got himself to start flossing. Is he put, you know, he minimized the steps between him and flossing, aka he bought like those little floss picks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Every day he would put one next to his sink, so like when he would brush his teeth, and he told himself you only have to floss one tooth. Just one. That was his. And sure enough, after you floss one, he's like, well, I'm not going to be a jerk and only floss one tooth. I'll just do it. But because he had set the goal so low, some days, sure, he only flossed one. But more often than not, he was like, all right, you know what? I'll do the rest of them. And that's how he built this habit. Who is it? Mitch Hedberg said, like, you know how difficult it is to start flossing? He's like, it's as difficult as it is to stop smoking. Like, it's one of those things that people just can't get themselves to do, even though you know you should. So it was the one tooth technique. I think that's in the book too.
Okay.
So yeah, anyway, this book is all about habits, system building, plus like you said earlier, like life gamification, so that you are turning yourself into like a real life superhero that has awesome adventures, learns how to do cool things, and fills yourself up with memories and stories, and makes yourself so much more interesting than just, oh, I go to work and I come home and watch Netflix and then drink some beers and play video games till I pass out and repeat the process. Like, you actually do stuff. You have this cool alter ego version of yourself that accomplishes these really cool things.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about your epic quest. But since you mentioned Mitch Hedberg, do you have a favorite Mitch Hedberg joke?
Because I do. I love the spray and wash one. Like,
what's that one?
He talks about like the secret, like he's like, you know, people have different saves in their house. There's like a Coca-Cola can. It actually is like you open it up and you can hide like certain things in like your keys inside of it, or like a rock that has whatever. He's like, or a spray and wash can. You know, I put my documents in it. And then his friends is like, hey, Mitch, can I use your spray and wash? He's like, yeah, sure. If you want to spray yourself with documents. And then it's dead silence, and it's so stupid, but his delivery is so perfect that it slays me. That or like the receipt and a donut, you know.
I remember so, that one.
So good.
I think my favorite one, and I use this, and people don't know that it's a joke from him, but he was like, job interviews are so weird because I always ask this question, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I'm always like, celebrating the anniversary of you asking me this question.
I love it, man. What a
that's my standard answer to that question.
What
now.
A shame. That's so great. Yeah, man. He's he's phenomenal. I don't know if you're familiar with the comedian Anthony Jeselnik, but he's like a mix of Mitch Hedberg and then horribly offensive material.
Okay.
He's phenomenal. I think he's got two albums on Spotify, but
I'll link to him in the show notes with the NSFW tag.
Yeah, you know, he's like just really really inappropriate stuff that, you know, half of you is going like, oh God, how did you say? And the other half of you was just laughing hysterically. So cannot recommend him highly enough, unless you are somebody that is just gets really offended at anything and everything. Anthony's whole thing. He doesn't believe in the concept of too soon. So he goes all in on it for pretty much everything and got in a lot of trouble for it. Like he had a show on Comedy Central that got canceled because he said some too soon comments about certain things and
really?
Whatever. Yeah, and he refused, I think, to back down. So it was I have to respect him for that. Yeah,
you got to respect those people who will just like give up all of their position just on principle, even if the principle is just ridiculous.
Yep, exactly.
Just super hard-headed. Okay, so
anyway,
you created this thing called The Epic Quest of Awesome.
I did.
I came across this sophomore year. I think it was like right around the time I started College Info Geek. It was a long time ago. I ended up calling mine The Impossible List, probably because it was shorter. But I really liked yours because it was like set up like video game levels. Like you're like, I'm level 12. Like level 11 was speaking at Google, and I don't remember what all levels were. I guess I don't remember which level Google was. Facebook, that's what it was. Facebook was 8, right? You spoke at Facebook. So what kind of like, how did you start building this list, and sure. How did you like decide it was going to be based on levels and stuff?
Yeah, well, I spent a strong majority of my childhood and adolescence, really to this day, playing a significant number of video games. And I just fell in love with specifically role-playing games, games where your character starts out scrawny, weak, small, powerless, and slowly but surely, level by level, new item by new item, boss battle by boss battle, your character becomes this all-powerful badass. And as I was transitioning from Nerd Fitness being a part-time gig to making Nerd Fitness my full-time job, I decided that as somebody who spent way too much of my time living vicariously through a computer screen, a TV, or a book, that I wanted to start living out these adventures that I had only read about and daydreamed about. So I thought back to why I loved role-playing games. And it was, yes, the idea that this character, you can become something powerful. But, you know, it's actually very well grounded in, I guess, behavioral psychology, that we love, as a species, as humans, we love to make progress. And, like, we actually enjoy making progress more so than we do the end goal of what we were progressing on to begin with. So it's, in less scientific terms, you know, it's the journey, not the destination. So yeah. I thought to myself, well, if I love leveling up in a game, why don't I try leveling up in real life? Everybody has a bucket list and they just throw a random smattering of things on there. There's no system in place to attack them. There's no structure or order to them. People just have more fun adding more things to their list and never actually doing anything on it. So when I decided I wanted to start traveling and having more adventures and challenging myself in various ways, I wanted to make my life into that video game. So I segmented each continent as if they were video game zones. So like South America became the jungle zone, Africa was the desert zone, Australia and New Zealand was the ocean zone, North America was like my home, you know, my home, like kind of like newbie island where I could learn and start to do things. So I then assigned experience point values to each of the quests, and every time I crossed something off of my list, I could actually fill up that experience bar and start to level myself up. So when I started this, it was all done just, you know, text, like pen and paper, like every level, everything was 20% experience points. Always needed to be working towards something and leveled up that way. But thanks to this book, we've actually been able to create a actual character creation system. So now you can actually go to levelupyourlife.com as of middle of January, you'll be able to go to levelupyourlife.com and create a character, create your backstory or your origin story, actually create your lists of quests and missions, assign different difficulty experience point levels to them. And as you're crossing things off your list, your character can actually level up. So it's allowing you to gamify your own bucket list, gamify your day-to-day experience, allow you to build a character that gives you your why, like why you're doing the things that you're doing, and allows you to feel the same joy and satisfaction that you would get from leveling up a video game character. You can get that same satisfaction from doing things that matter to you in your own life, be it travel or learning a martial art, a new language, a new instrument, whatever it may be.
I am really excited to play with the new system.
It's going to be fun. We're just getting started, too. I mean, I feel like this is the foundation of, you know, Tony Stark's tower. Like, that's what we're building the foundational aspects of it. So it's relatively basic, but we're really excited. I think the extra features and bells and whistles we'll be able to tack onto this as we explore more fully in 2016 this concept that life is a game and you're the hero in it.
I'm surprised that that's not a goal on your list. Have a giant tower in New York City with a NF on it.
Well, I figured I would start with, you know, buying an island in the Caribbean. Hopefully next to Richard Branson's island, we'll just go ahead and hang out. We'll get two cups and one giant string, and we can have conversations back and forth between our islands.
Nice. I do notice that there is a goal that you have completed but not crossed off yet.
Ooh, which one's
because
that?
Because Nerd Fitness now has over 250,000 subscribers. So you can cross that one off.
I can see right in this stupid book.
Yeah, I know. Dude, people have to remind me to cross things off my impossible list. They're like, you just did a collaboration with another YouTuber. Cross that off. I was like, oh, yeah, that was on my list. Sometimes like, I just do things. Like, I get an idea, I put it down, and then, like, it takes a long time to do it, and you forgot that you even wrote it down, which is still wanted to do it.
Part of it was, like, become a published author, and, like, I now have a book, but I can't cross that one off officially, I think, until I can walk into a bookstore and buy it.
January 12th.
Right? What's up?
January 12th is the day, right?
January 12th. I am so excited. I'm going to walk into, like, a Barnes & Noble here in New York City and sign a whole bunch of them and then buy one and just laugh and run through Union Square and be like, holy crap, I did it.
You're just this weird guy like taking selfies next to a bookshelf.
I'll be there for like 4 hours like trying to get the permit.
Like, guys, I wrote this book.
Yeah, anybody that walks by, me, like, oh.
Like, I'm very excited. Actually, what section is it going to be in?
I believe it'll be in like the either self-help or fitness. I mean, it's weird because it's not a fitness book, but I feel like this kind of self-help book like is for people that don't like self-help.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a weird book to pin down because I try to create a book for people that are skeptical of self-help, but it truly is it's a book to help people do the things they say they've always wanted to do, but it's grounded in, you know, psychology and you know, PubMed back studies and research papers and things like that. So it's like the scientific analytical nerd's approach to living a better life.
I think self-help has just like a bad connotation, like the word, like just thinking about nurturing your soul and just energizing your chakra.
Dream it and follow your passion.
You just gotta follow your passion, you know? Crush it. Yeah,
like, doesn't work like that.
And I'm like, no, let's build. Actually, so there's this quote from CGP Grey that I love, and I think it's like, I don't have faith in people, I have faith in the system.
And ooh, like, I like that.
That's how I want to start my next book. I don't know the exact bits and details of what my book is going to be about, but like it's going to start with that quote and like it's going to build from there because I love that. I love it quote so much.
I like
it's so cool. So okay, so I want to ask you about three of like your big level ups that we talked about because we had a Skype conversation like what a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And one of them was like this ridiculous round the world trip. I think this is how I found you in the beginning because you're like,
yes,
I that used was fun. Points on my credit card to basically go to every single country ever or something like that. And
it was how to travel around the world for $419.
Yes. And you ended up making this really cool video, which like you're like exercising around the world and going to across all these countries and doing push-ups and stuff.
And, that was fun.
Oh, I remember. You know, I feel bad sometimes because like, you know, the guy who made the video that was like very similar to yours.
Oh yeah.
I've become like a huge fan of him.
I mean, he's crushing it though.
He's just, yeah. Casey Neistat's so freaking cool, but I think it actually turned out to be pretty different than your video now that I've watched it again. Because his was like so much less structured than yours. You were like, also, I mean, I'm going like, to exercise like every country.
Well, he also had like 2 weeks to do it and he was paid by Nike to do it. You know, whereas mine was just like, I was just exercising. He was like, hey, you know, I might as well do something fun in each city and then I'll figure out a way to tie them all together.
Did you just like have random people hold your iPhone and then... Did you ever have someone like try to run off with it or
no?
It's a lot of countries.
No, but I did have so many people like standing around watching me do these things. They're like, "What is this guy?" what are you doing? You know, and like, I'm doing it in you know, China and Japan, and just getting very strange looks from people asking me why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. And like, that's okay. Whatever.
Have you ever heard of Where the Hell is Matt?
Oh, dude, that was the inspiration for the video.
Was it?
Oh, man. I love those videos. I was like, I'm going to travel and be like this guy someday.
That guy's so cool. He's making another one.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's like running some huge Kickstarter for it.
I mean, I've probably watched his, I think it was like his 2012 one. Mm. No, I'm sorry. Maybe it was 2010. Like his second video. Not the first one, but the second one.
Yeah, the second one's really cool. The second one like almost brings me to tears. It's just like, I don't know what it is about it.
Soundtrack to it. It's just phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to link to that one. Okay, so how did you do this ridiculous trip?
Yeah, I travel hacked my way through it. So there's a section in the book called How to Nurture Your Adventurous Spirit Like Indiana Jones. And it's this idea of regardless of who you are and what your day job is, it is possible for you to go on a great adventure and do so without breaking the bank. And it starts with getting specific about what you're trying to do. Very much like I needed a system to write a book. Like I needed a system to travel. Everybody's like, oh, I want to travel more. It's like, well, what does that mean? I was like, for me, I want to travel more means I wanted to go all in. And for me, that meant booking an around the world plane ticket. I think it was called a One World Explorer ticket with American Airlines. Initially, I was just going to book a one-way flight to Australia and then figure the rest out.
Okay.
And then my friends, a few of my friends now, but at the time I hadn't met them yet, but Matt Kepnes, aka Nomadic Matt, and Sean Ogle, who runs location180.com, they had both talked about Thailand. And then I saw the movie The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio, and I was like, man, this looks awesome. Maybe I'll go to Thailand too. So then I was like, okay, I'll book a flight to Australia, and then 2 months later I'll book one to Thailand, and then I'll fly back home. And using points, that was like, it was like 100,000 points or something to do those three flights.
And how'd you have all these points in the first place?
Like I signed up for, I think it was like 3 credit cards over the course of a year. And I would sign up for a credit card that had a 50,000 point American Airlines bonus or something.
Okay.
And I would get the points. I would spend every dollar I needed that month for the next 2 months on that card until I hit my, you know, it's like, oh, spend $2,000 and get 50,000 points. Okay. So I'd spend my $2,000, get my 50,000 points, pay off the card in full. To this day, I've never carried a single dollar of balance over on a credit card.
Yes.
Ever, because I just don't like debt. I don't.
Yeah. You just treat it like another checking account that gets you some benefits.
Yeah, exactly. It's a checking. Exactly. And I just have every account set to pay in full every month where it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I did that 2 or 3 times with a few different cards and racked up a crazy amount of American Airlines miles.
Nice.
So then I looked into it and was like, okay, well, 100,000 points gets me to make these 3 flights, or for 140,000 miles, I can book this One World ticket, which allows me to fly 35,000 miles and I can make 16 stops.
Oh my gosh.
35,000 miles is essentially a 1.5 times around the globe. I think the globe circumference is 25,000 miles. So something like that. And I can stop in 16 different cities. I could change the date of each. Like I couldn't change the order that I was traveling, but I could change dates. So if I decided I want to stay in New Zealand longer or spend less time in China, I could change the dates on those flights. So next thing I knew, instead of just booking a one way to Australia, then it became Australia and Thailand. Then it became, okay, how can I get as creative as possible with my 35,000 miles of flying? And it turns out, like, after I probably spent 2 weeks on a website called Great Circle Mapper, where like you put in different airplane or airline codes and it tells you the distance between them.
Oh,
and
nice.
It turns out my total distance was 34,985 miles. So like I had the exact just under 35,000 miles of flying that allowed me to stop in Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Thailand, Cambodia, Japan, China, Hong Kong, came back to the States where I then gave a talk at Google, came to Chris Guillebeau's World Domination Summit, who had initially inspired me to start traveling and travel hacking to begin with. And then I went over to Spain, Ireland, France, Monaco, and then returned to the United States. And then from there on, I was just booking smaller trips here and there. So like went to Germany for Oktoberfest, and then went to Brazil for Carnival, went to South Africa for you know, went like to Kruger National Park and saw the big five animals and things like that. So I've been travel hacking my way throughout the globe since then. And now I'm sitting on 500,000 American airline miles and just deciding where to go next because I haven't traveled much this year because I've been so focused on this book and some health and fitness and music goals that I've been working on as my game has changed from travel adventure to more like, you know, day-to-day life adventure.
Yeah. So I noticed Casey Neistat sticks with American Airlines only because that gets him that like super elite status where he gets
executive platinum. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you stick only with American Airlines as well? Or is it like
American or Southwest? You know, I know Southwest isn't a great but I love Southwest. I love I think the company, how they've structured themselves. Everybody has always been super nice. And I spent the past 3 years, I just most recently moved to New York City, but I spent the past 3 years before that living in Nashville, Tennessee, and Southwest flies everywhere out of there. So okay. Southwest was my most easy, but I do have a platinum status with American Airlines that I plan on continuing moving forward, especially now that I live in New York City. American has a very big base, you know, very big base of operations to fly out of here and get me most places.
How much are you flying these days? I mean, I know you're going to fly to at least six cities for the book tour, but like just on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, so moving to New York was a quest in itself. Like I had planned to go to Scotland this summer. And then I woke up one day and I was like, you know what? I gotta mix things up. I'm gonna move to New York. So 2 weeks later, I had sold everything in Nashville and got out of a lease, drove my car with my few belongings and musical instruments up to New York City, rented a place on an Airbnb for a month, and then found an apartment. So now that like my life is kind of settled here in New York, this book is done. I'm excited to get back on the road again. Like I have plans. To take some time off, which I've been unfortunately neglecting due to the book and building a team at Nerd Fitness and launching projects and camp and things like that. So I'm excited once I can get through the chaos of this book launch, I can spend some time on the road and disconnect for a few weeks and get back to working on music, surfing, you know, relearning Spanish, etc. I think that's going to be the plan for probably March or April.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I took some time off and it's so helpful.
You have to schedule it.
Yeah.
If you don't really schedule it, then it never happens.
I booked a flight to San Diego. Had no idea what I was going to do, but I was just like, I'm going to do not work. That's what I'm going to do.
And what did you end up doing?
You know, I booked a hostel. It was super cheap.
San Diego were you staying?
I was staying maybe like 6 blocks west and 10 blocks north of the Gaslamp district. So right in Little Italy. Okay. And yep. It was like this, I think there was like a huge Hilton hotel. It might've been the Hilton or the Marriott or something. And like, there was like this little set of tiny bungalows next to it. And it was like $30 a night. And it was in a bunk and it was, they even had like free meals. So I just went there, brought my skateboard, brought a book, read. I finished The Wind Up Girl, finished a book called Ancillary Justice. And then skated a bunch, went to the beach. Yeah, I climbed a mountain, a very small mountain, but climbed one. Ruined a very new pair of shoes in the process, but it just totally reset me. I mean, I did an episode about it. Just, it really helped. And one of the things I'm trying to do now that I'm back home is like having some sort of fun thing that I do on a regular basis that's not. Like you do violin, right?
Yeah, so yeah. Behind me right now, I have a piano, a guitar, and a violin. And I started to learn to play the violin right when I started to write the book. I wanted to like make myself a case study while I was writing it. So like throughout the book, I'm like, you know, but I have videos on levelupyourlife.com of me like from day one trying the violin and I'm so terrible. And then fast forward like a few months, like, oh, I'm not at that. I'm better and better and better. And since moving to New York and I have to find a new violin teacher, but, you know, in Nashville, like when I told people I was going to learn to play the violin, so people were like, what? Like what kind of 30-year-old just says like, yeah, I'm going to learn the violin. And then they're like, have you played it before? I was like, well, I took lessons for like 3 months when I was in second grade. And that was about it. They're like, so you're just going to play the violin? Like, yep. Like, okay. Because you can rent a violin for $20 a month.
Really?
I was renting a violin for $20 a month and there's this great violin store in Music Row in Nashville. $20 a month, and then the $20 went towards, after 1 year, if I wanted to purchase the violin, all that $20 each month went towards the purchase price of it. So I was like, this is great. I get to test out an instrument for a year. And if I still love it, I'm going to buy it, which I ended up doing. And then I was taking lessons. It was like $30 for 45 minutes once a week. So, you know, I wanted to show people, like, if you want to learn a language, start today. You know, Benny Lewis runs fluentin3months.com. He's like, speak from day one, like hop, learn hello and my name is in that language you want to learn. And then hop on, like, I think it's a website called iTalkI,
yeah,
where you can get connected for, it's like $10 an hour to a native speaker of the language you're trying to learn. And just hop on there and say, like, those things. And then they can, like, once a week, you can start taking lessons for $10-$20 an hour. And instead of reading another book on vocabulary or reading a book on how to play an instrument, like, pick the damn thing up, make some terrible noises with it, and you're going to get so much better the faster you get through those first few months of, like, sucking at it. Like, no amount of reading can overcome the experience you get from just doing. So yeah, it's getting people over that initial hurdle of getting people to actually start doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my roommate's doing, like, I think 2 sessions a week on iTalki for Spanish. And then
that's awesome.
Last night he was, like, sitting there in the living room watching Pokemon in Spanish. Just getting that immersion.
I love it.
That's, and I was sitting next to him playing the Pokemon trading card game on my laptop.
That's
so
great.
Very Pokemon night.
I love it.
But yeah, I'm gonna do ice skating this winter. Because
oh, cool.
I love skateboarding, but can't do it in the winter. And yep, Iowa is so flat, so snowboarding is out of the picture. So mm-hmm, ice skating it is. And my dad was like the same thing, like, you're gonna go just ice skate? I'm like, yep.
Yeah, like, who does that? Like, cool people do. Like, so many, man, you know, you talk to how many people, like, oh, what do you do for work? Well, blah, blah, blah. And, like, what else do you do? Like, well, I love Netflix. And then I watch this show. And then I watch this show. Oh, and then if you've seen this show, it's like, well, yeah, but, like, give me anything that makes you unique or interesting. It's like, oh, I write poetry. It's like, or I'm a flamenco dancer. Like, there's a great story in the book from a college student who uses 20 seconds of courage, you know, kind of like enacts her star power to sign up for dance classes at her college. And she's so scared of starting that she just stands in the back of the room to start. And a few months later, she finally works up the courage to start actually dancing by standing in the last row. And now she actually competes professionally in dance through her school. She used the confidence from learning how to dance and putting herself out there to quit her job at the bookstore. And now she works in, like, a research lab or something like that. Like, really freaking cool. You know, I'm just trying to think back to, like, how many college kids just, like, they go to class, they come home and drink themselves stupid and sit on their asses and play video games and watch TV and don't do anything exciting. And, like, here's somebody that is, you know, regardless of how old you are, what you're doing, what your situation is, you know, the whole book is full of people from all walks of life, men, women, young, old, students, professionals, whatever, that have, like, prioritized this idea of adventure, growth, happiness, progress, missions and completing quests and things like that. And I just love being able to share those things because people don't do that, man. People just drift. They go to their job and then they, you know, wait until the next day and then like next thing you know it's 10 years later, you're like, what the hell have I been doing? Like, do something and here's a system to actually get started with it. And here are plenty of people that have done it too.
I gotta say, in college, like, there I certainly know new people who did just drift through it, you know, but I knew a lot of people who would just take up cool challenges and do really cool things, and it, like,
that
decreases when graduation comes. Like, I think there's just so much structure and, like, you can do whatever you want. We have 50,000 clubs you can join. And then when you become an adult, it's like, yeah, you got a company gym and free coffee, donuts on Fridays and Netflix. And, like, you have to, you just have to work a little harder to find those opportunities. And you have to be a little bit more just willing to embarrass yourself because people don't do it as much, but it keeps life fun, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, it makes it worth living.
This big thing I've learned since graduating that I was really scared about, and I realized it was, like, completely stupid fear when I was a student, is, like, there doesn't have to be some ridiculous, like, huge transition from college to working life. Like, now you're learning and being, you know, exuberant and vibrant, and then floop, now you're working and you have a family and you don't see friends anymore. Like, it can be a very soft transition. For me, it was like ridiculously soft because I was working full time on my site before I graduated. Sure. So it was like, oh, I'm not going to class today, but I'm going to do everything exactly the same other than that.
And well, I did. So my first job out of college was in sales, you know, selling construction equipment, which I think I talked about in a previous interview, but mm-hmm. My transition was very jarring. So, you know, in college, I played basketball. I played every intramural sport. I, you know, hung out with friends all the, and then all of a sudden after college, like I'm in this dead end sales job that I'm so mismatched for and I'm miserable with. And I would go out and I'd video games and then like going out drinking on Fridays and Saturdays to like forget the week I just had became my normal. And after like a few months of this, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is, if I'm supposed to do this for another 40 years, like hell no, I need some changes. And that's when I, you know, stumbled across Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week, started the idea of Nerd Fitness, moved cross country, took a job I actually enjoyed working for a company that made me excited. And then ultimately moved on to making Nerd Fitness my full-time thing. But I was so miserable in that job that I'm so fortunate that I was miserable. I think if I was only like somewhat unhappy, but they paid me more money, then I would have stuck with it. But I was so unhappy that I had to make a drastic change. But I think for many, that the normal becomes normal. And the next thing you know, you're married with a kid, and you then can't get out of this job that you hate, even though whatever. And then you're like, I'm going to leave. And then they give you a promotion. And then you feel bad because they just promoted you and you can't get out of it. And then you're like, man, where did life go? Like, what happened to all those things I said I always wanted to do? I think,
yeah,
you know, I talk about in the book, but there's a great book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And it's this lady interviews people, I think in a hospice house, like people that are on their deathbeds, and ask them what are their biggest regrets about the lives that they had lived, knowing that they don't have very much life left to live. And they all said something like, I wish I had lived a life true to myself and not what I thought others expected of me. Mm. And that was so powerful for me. Although my parents never told me to do so, they were both in sales and I knew it would make them happy if I got into sales. So my first job out of college was in sales and I was terrible at it. And then I got mad at myself and felt guilty about not being happy about being in a job that paid me well. And, you know, so I think for so many people, they're like, well, both my parents are doctors or both my parents are lawyers, or I'm, this would make somebody happy. And, oh, I'm already in this relationship, even though it's a dead end, whatever, I'll just stick with it. And then like, you know, that's the cause of discontent for so many people. So I encourage people to truly take a look at and dig into like what they're doing and why they're doing it. And I'm not saying like quit your job and follow your dreams and all that stuff, but like take a realistic, you know, deep look at what you're doing and how you're spending your time. And if you're unhappy, if it's with a relationship, it's with friends, if it's in a job, like you always have a choice. You might need to move on a friend's couch. You might need to sell your car. You might need to move to a place that is way cheaper, but you always have a choice to reprioritize what's important to you. And you can always get into or out of anything if you put the right systems and set yourself up in a way to win.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I think about is like, you don't have to keep everything you've established to stay happy. Like there are certain things you've established that you should keep, but not every single thing, you know?
And absolutely.
Like, I think about that. I live in a big house and I have a car. I share my house with friends, so it's cheap. But it's like, I don't need to keep this exact level of material comfort. If I want to move forward and it requires to downsize a lot, then I will do it.
You know, it's like me moving to New York. I had to move into a smaller apartment because mm-hmm. I was moving from Nashville to New York City. And I was like, okay, that's a decision I'm choosing to make. And I'm doing this for the experience and I'm excited to have the stories and connections and things like that that New York provides to me. So I'm going to do what it takes to make this work. But like you said, you know, if there's another part of the book where it talks about, there's this great study where they talked about the happiness of, I think it was like quadriplegics mm-hmm. and people that just won the lottery. And initially in the first 2 weeks after somebody is paralyzed, obviously they're miserable. And 2 weeks after somebody's won the lottery, they're elated. But a year later, they go back and ask these same people. And the people that are the quadriplegics are happier than the people that have won the lottery. Really? We very quickly adapt to the environment and the situation that we put ourselves into. Yeah. So a smaller place, you'll make it work. But as soon as you get yourself the you know, 100-inch TV. Next thing you know, that 80-inch TV you had before just won't cut it. Like, it's so quickly true. Get adapted. It's crazy. I think it's like the adaptation principle, but okay. It's phenomenal. So many things that we think we can't live without. Like, when I canceled cable, it was like I was cutting my arm off. You know, it's like, oh, what about sports and what about this other show I'm gonna watch? And 3 days later, I was like, oh, I don't miss this. Like, I'm just gonna read a book instead, or spend a little bit of time playing a game, play more music, whatever it may be. Like, so many things that we assume are absolute necessities in our lives are not. Like, we don't need them really. If what you're trying to do and those things don't fit into it, like, get rid of them, and within a week you will not miss those things. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm actually super against the lottery. Like, if I won the lottery, I would take it. If somebody, like, actually, so my friend and I, we have like these ridiculous arguments about the lottery, because he's like, if I won the lottery, I would pay off all my friends' loans and I would set them up for life. And I was like, if I won the lottery, I would immediately divert every single dollar of it to the most responsible charitable organization, and I would make no decisions on it whatsoever unless one of my friends or family members is like dying of cancer or something. Like, I would not even let it pass through my decision making area, because I don't want to be given a large sum of value that I did not earn.
Totally. Like, I don't remember what the specific statistic is, but the number of people that go bankrupt after winning the lottery is excessive. It is unbelievable, because people have, again, money given but not earned. They have no idea how to manage it. They have no idea what it took to blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So, not that we need to
You've gotten viral spikes on your site before, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, sure. How do you feel like the day after the spike?
No different than I did the day before it.
The day after a viral spike for me, I feel like bad. I'm like, oh, bad. No. Now it's gone. Like, my first video got like viral, you know, it was like 40,000 views in a day. And then the next day it's back down to like 2,000 or whatever. I'm like, oh, how do I get that back? You know?
You're chasing that next thing. And in reality, like,
yeah, we normalize to everything. It's ridiculous. Like, I mean, when I started YouTube, it was like, you know, 100 views on a video in a week. Awesome. Yeah. And now it's like, if it doesn't get 100 views in like 2 seconds, I feel like it's a bad video. Like, we just normalize to everything. So that's one of the big values I've had, is like, try to stay really deliberate about what I upgrade to, because I know I will normalize to it and it will not make me happier like 3 weeks after I have it, you know?
My around the world trip, I flew in economy because 140,000 points, and it was like 190,000 points, I think, if I could have done it in business class. And then I took an international business class trip. With like, you get to go on the plane first. It lies flat. They bring you like champagne before the plane takes off. You have your own tablet to watch blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Thank you so much.
And now
it's
like my flight's over
a
certain number. Right, exactly.
Really appreciate your business.
Now I can't even, you know, now I'm like, oh, if I'm going anywhere across an ocean or the flight is longer than X number of hours, like, I do anything I can to get that ticket in business class or first class, because I so quickly normalized to what it is. And like, I hate saying that, but it's amazing whether it's that, a creature comfort. You know, when I moved to New York, I didn't have a TV for my first 3 months that I was here. And then I finally got one. And most of the time it still sits unused and turned off. And like, I have big windows in my place so that like I can't actually watch the TV during the day, which I'm like, that's actually kind of nice, you know? But for 3 months, for somebody that's like, if you told somebody right now, like, get rid of your TV and cancel your cable, they'd be like, they look at you like you're telling them to cut their head off, right?
Yep.
Like, what do you mean no TV? Like, that is the most absurd, anti-American, craziest thing I've ever heard. But in reality, like, if you're truly serious about doing the other things that you want to do, like, life without a TV is not that bad if that allows you to do the other things that you're interested in. So, like, there's another example that I use in the book, but my friend Megan is a teacher and makes a modest teacher salary. But she's traveled to 5 or 6 continents and visited a dozen countries in the past few years. And everybody's like, oh man, it must be nice to live. It's like, she is a teacher, but she rents a room from somebody. She has a flip phone and she doesn't own a television. She has a laptop that's 4 or 5 years old, and all of her money goes into traveling. not only goes into traveling and then she picks up like odd jobs. She's like a secret shopper on the side, or she does like these other things, but she lives such a Spartan existence because she has chosen to prioritize this travel stuff. And it's not like everybody's like, oh, it must be nice to be rich and whatever. Like, go back and read all the comments from my Around the World video.
Yeah.
Or my TED Talk. People are like, step one, be rich and have mommy and daddy pay for you. And like, these are the people. It's like, no, I started Nerd Fitness for $100. My trip around the world was $419. I stayed in hostels on couches. I spent a weekend living like James Bond in Monaco, and I made money on that weekend. Like, yeah. My tux rental was $50. I used hotel points, and I won $150 playing blackjack. So like, all of these experiences, people use money and time as an excuse, and reality, that's just them deluding themselves into not having to take action. So like, yeah. When you can remove those things, like, okay, most people's like, well, this won't work for me because, and I found that people in my community, and I imagine people in your community, are people that instead say, okay, how can I adapt this particular situation, yes, to my life and make it work for me? You know, people that have kids and try, like, people like to, I think Ramit Sethi calls it like unique snowflake syndrome. And he's like, everybody's like, oh, this won't work for me because
ridiculous problem that no one else has.
Nobody else has, just, right? And it's like, everything's bad because you're full of it. Yeah. You're lying and you don't want to take action. And as a result of that, you make up these nonsense excuses to make yourself feel better about not doing it.
And you know what's funny? Like, a few years ago, I would have said, like, there are people who say, this is why it won't work for me. And there are people who say, this is how can I make it work for me? And if you're one of the people in the latter or the former camp, you're not listening to this and you're never going to improve. But I have seen people who had that terrible attitude turn it around. I have a really good friend who had like the crappiest attitude for most of college. And then like one day he just got so sick of it and finally started making changes. And now his life is awesome.
We need that. You either got to hit rock bottom or there's got to be something that happens. I have so many people email me at Nerd Fitness and say like, hey, can you give my husband or my wife motivation? Like, I'm in shape and they don't want to take care of themselves. So can you provide them with that? I'm like, nope. we're here for them when they're ready. But just like you had to choose to take the red pill and join us here in, you know, the Matrix, if you had to, you know, this call to action, you had to accept it and enter into this where things are different. They have to get to that point too. So for people that tell me that, when I'm like, okay, that's fine, cool, like, we'll be here when you're ready, and that's the extent of it, and they'll, you know, the whine and complain and come up with excuses for everything. And the best, I think, is just people say, must be nice. You know, like, I get that so often from people, like, oh, must be nice, whatever. And I'm like, must be nice to have like a wife and a family that loves you and put yourself in these amazing situations. Like, that's amazing. By the way, here's somebody in your exact same situation who is not complaining, but rather has chosen to prioritize. And, you know, there's this story in the book of a guy who is a construction worker, and he loves Japanese manga that was like, was it Wolf and Cub or something? Oh, like
Wolf
that?
And Spice?
Whatever. Or so Spice, there's like this single dad and his son who go on like these missions and quests and things like that. And he's like, oh, huh, man, I love this. So I'm going to transform my life with my son, who I get to see. Like, they now train martial arts together. Like, that's their bonding time together. Like, they get to cross off two things at the same time, like hang out with dad and get better at martial arts. Like, how cool is that?
This is the college student. Yeah, I think I found it when I was flipping through the book, like, just really, really recently. Do you remember which chapter it's in?
Yeah, hold on. I have it up here too. Let me see. His name is
Construction Manager. Yeah. Oh, Lone Wolf and Cub.
Lone Wolf and Cub. There we
go. Yeah. Okay.
Like,
that's
how
awesome.
Cool is that?
Yeah, that's super cool.
It makes me so happy. Like, here's a guy that, you know, single dad. Dude is 57 years old and he just wants to spend more time with his son. And like, they bonded over this Japanese comic about a single dad and his son on these missions, like samurai missions in feudal Japan. Like, damn, dude, that is awesome. Freaking love that. So, you know, I'm sure there'll still be people watching this like, well, it must be nice, Steve, but I can't because of this. And like, okay, like, that's fine. Read it when you're ready, or join us when you're ready to make those changes. But until then, like, keep complaining and see how far that gets you. Like, I hate to say it, because we've all been there, and I used to say things like that as well. This won't work for me because, and even now I still say it in some aspects of my life, and I have to like No. That's your brain telling you that's a self-limiting belief. Like, what if you didn't think that way? How would you choose to act? And it's kind of crazy. Like, but it must be something built into us inherently that, or it's learned through years of apathy, and that we have to kind of break ourselves out and wake ourselves up.
Yeah, I read something recently, and we're gonna finish up pretty soon, but I want to just bring this up. I read something recently about like Neanderthal men. They built boats, very small boats, to cross like rivers and streams and stuff, but they didn't really spread too far. Like, there was a defined area where they spread, and then Homo sapiens, we just have this thing in our minds that says, go do more stuff. For no reason, just do it.
Yep.
Let's go to that. What's that thing in the sky? Let's go to it. What, yeah. Right? There's what a gigantic mountain there.
What's beyond that mountain? Yep.
I just want to be on top of it just because. We do that. But I think like there's all this stuff that gunks it up, and maybe there's some old programming that makes us want to just kind of stay what we're doing. But, you know, embrace that ridiculous urge to keep doing it's arbitrarily Frodo. Crazy it's, things.
It's Bilbo sitting in his hobbit hole, just, you know, not wanting adventures of any kind. And then Gandalf comes knocking. Yeah. And next thing you know, he's running away from a dragon in the Lonely Mountain.
I'm going
like,
to have an adventure.
We're going to have an adventure. And I thought that was so cool. And, you know, for somebody that grew up loving these stories and living vicariously through them, it's like, dude, these don't have to be just an escape for you. Like, what if you looked at them as education? Like, how can you translate what you've learned from this? You know, like, people get their lessons learned from, like, religious doctrines or whatever. Like, I get them from comics and books and movies. Like, I try to live up to the ideals set forth by the characters. And you know, I just got a Captain America shield, like, to hang in my apartment here in New York to remind me, like, that's who I'm trying to become. You know, I see you're wearing your Nerd Fitness shirt at the moment.
I am.
That has the, you know, heavily inspired by Captain America. It's just part of, you know, that's part of who I am and what I try to aspire to become every day, and that guides my decisions and yeah, man, just it's fun. Makes life enjoyable. Like, what, we take ourselves way too seriously. Everything is way too important. It's like, fucking A, man, if you're not having fun every day, like, mix something up. You got to make a change. It's, you are the only one that can get you into or out of the situation you're currently in, and that's on you. That's, you know, personal responsibility is the most important thing I think we can learn.
Yeah, I have people come up to me and they're like, oh, Captain America. Wait. No? What is that? Genius.
Oh, it's this weird site by this dude. Don't worry about
it. I'm not actually going to tell you the URL or anything. Like, it's all mine. Actually, I think I'm gonna get new shirts printed at some point in the future. And I have decided to take the URL off of it. Because I figure, like, if somebody
knows, for the know. Yep.
If somebody cares enough to buy a shirt from me, then they probably care enough to, like, tell somebody where they got what the shirt is, and like, on the flip side, I don't know, have you ever gone to a website because you saw it on somebody's t-shirt and you just didn't talk to them, but you're like, I'm gonna go to that website because it's on a t-shirt?
I don't think so.
I don't think probably not.
I mean, I might have googled a phrase that I saw on a t-shirt,
yeah,
but like, everyone was like, oh, this domain I need to blah blah blah. So no,
I really like the Fizzle guys t-shirts. Like, it just says Heart and Hustle. I don't even think it says Fizzle on it. It's just like, yep, a cool t-shirt. And like, the goal, I guess the goal should be to have the person wearing it tell a story about it, not just be a billboard for you.
Yep, exactly. Make it, it's an experience. It's part of the world that you've built.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had other questions I wanted to ask you, but you're also going to be on Listen Money Matters, which we will be recording, I think, in what, like 2 days? But
cool.
I'm thinking they're probably going to come out on the same day.
Okay.
So, dear listener, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, January 11th, Steve, your book is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Holy
so
crap.
Don't rush out to Barnes & Noble today if it's the 11th for you, but if it is the 12th or after, you can
rush
go
out
it.
And buy it.
You can rush out and buy it. Or I think, like, you have levelupyourlife.com. Is that redirecting to the book right now?
It is, but it will be levelupyourlife.com. It will be set up. There's book tour information. We're hitting up, you know, New York City, Austin, LA, San Francisco, Chicago, and Atlanta, and we're doing something epic in each location. So it might be parkour, rock climbing, ninja warrior training, Jedi sword fighting. Like, we're doing it all.
When are you doing this? Oh, I want to do ninja warrior training.
Ninja warrior training. We're doing that one in New York.
I think I'm gonna be in Portland during your book tour. So,
well, so, you know, I'm doing these first six and then I'm going to take a few days off to, to recharge. And then I'm going to try to hit, you know, I'll hit, like Portland, probably Nashville, Boston.
Let me tell you about the, insanely passionate large audience of people in Des Moines, Iowa that would love
swing on through Des Moines.
Do
you
it.
Come up with something cool for us to do, and we come up with enough people to make it to make it worthwhile. I think we can pull that off.
All right, dude. I have a couch.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
All right, guys. Once again, thanks so much for listening to this episode, and thank you so much for sticking with the podcast if you've been listening to it for a long time. If you want to get those show notes, once again, CIGpodcast.com. Go to the episode 92 link on the page and you can find all those links, including the links to Steve's book. And also, if you want to find my favorite resources for making your college experience a better one, you can go over to collegeinfogeek.com/resources and find all the cool gear and apps and resources of other types that I've linked up over there. Other than that, that is all I've got for this episode. So until next week, stay cute. Thank you.